It was another incredible night of UEFA Champions League football as match day four got underway. Arsenal and Bayern made it four wins from four as Liverpool secured a statement victory over 15-time champions Real Madrid at Anfield. There was also a goal from a centre-back who ran the entire length of the pitch before slotting home, and a 15-year-old has become the youngest ever player in the competition's history. We'll review it all next. I'm Natalie Sawyer, and what a night of Champions League football we've been treated to. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by European football expert Alvaro Romeo and commentator Phil Blacker as well, who kept me company during a thoroughly enjoyable evening. Let's get straight to it. It has been another eventful night, Alvaro.
It has been, and I think that there are so many results that resonate. Obviously, in my mind, it's the Liverpool-Real Madrid game, because Liverpool won it, and could be a turning point in their season, because they beat Real Madrid, the team that won the Champions League in 2024, and with the goal from McAllister, a footballer who needed as well a good game this season. So, you know, it's been a very powerful game between two power forces, and I'm still shaking a little bit from the emotion of that game.
Well, it was our featured commentary game, Phil, Liverpool against Real Madrid, and as Alvaro said, it didn't disappoint. It had everything. It had plenty of chances, just the one goal in it, as Liverpool won by a goal to nil against Real. But my goodness, Thibaut Courtois was a star for Real. There were so many talking points from it.
There was real quality, as you would expect, between these two clubs. So many European titles between them, going toe-to-toe. There wasn't much between them, really, was there? Courtois had a super game. It needed something brilliant, really, to find a way beyond him. Liverpool came up with that quality, and they'll be equally pleased with how they were able to hold on to the lead, how they defended and they kept Real Madrid at bay. Not many sides stopped them from scoring in the Champions League. So, yeah, again, that had a little bit of everything.
Let's run you through the results then. Liverpool beat Real Madrid by a goal to nil at Anfield at the Parc des Princes. It finished at Paris 1, Bayern München 2. Atleti beat Union Saint-Gilloise 3-1 in Madrid. It was 1-1 between Juventus and Sporting. Napoli and Eintracht Frankfurt played out a goalless draw. Arsenal continued their 100% winning start as they beat Slavia Praha 3-0 in Czechia. Tottenham beat FC Copenhagen 4-0. Olympiakos and PSV finished 1-1. And in Norway, Monaco beat Bodo Glimt by a goal to nil. So let's begin our review then at Anfield, as two sides who've won 21 European Cups between them came head to head. Alvaro Romeo and Phil Blacker watched Liverpool then versus Real Madrid for Matchday Live.
Chase on here for Liverpool. Florian Wirtz has won the ball well, and he's found Szoboszlai in the middle, and out quickly at his feet to make the save was Thibaut Courtois, who did brilliantly. Here's Szoboszlai. Szoboszlai has the hit, but down to his right to make the save, and to hold it goes Thibaut Courtois. Bellingham taking the pass from Vinicius, getting the better of Konate, and then denied by the legs of Mamardashvili. Florian Wirtz down the left infield for Alexis McAllister to have a go. It's another save from Courtois. Wirtz is going to take this one then, whips it in left-footed. Oh, and it's a brilliant stop again from Courtois. Van Dijk, who steered that goalwards, must have thought he'd scored. Thibaut Courtois showing wonderful reactions to keep it out. But that corner comes in, the danger hasn't been dealt with yet. Oh, and that might be even better. Courtois again with another super save. This time it was Ekotike who met it. And again, when that left his head, he must have thought it was in. So Szoboszlai again with a set piece, whips it in from the right, and this time it's there. It's Alexis McAllister to meet it and to thump it beyond Courtois.
Thibaut Courtois this time couldn't see it coming. Unstoppable for the Belgian goalkeeper. And Liverpool had to do something extraordinary to score, and that has happened.
So it was an Alexis McAllister header in the second half that sealed the win in the end for Liverpool. Something I wanted to pick up on that you've mentioned already, Alvaro, is a turning point. Now, after the Aston Villa result at the weekend, many were saying that was the turning point. But to beat the 15-time champions of Europe and do it so well as well.
It is significant. I think that it's not only the result, it's the manner, the way Liverpool came out in the second half just to eat Real Madrid alive if they could. They created a lot of chances very quickly, three set pieces that they managed to head, the three of them. If it wasn't for Thibaut Courtois, those would have ended up in goals. I think that the attitude was very good. You know, Liverpool played with bravery, but on the other hand, they were very, very clever, because I think that they pressed high, but the defense, as strange as it sounds, remained quite deep, which is something that normally teams don't do, because if you press high, the whole team goes high. In this case, they knew that they didn't want to be caught at the back of the defense by the speed of Mbappé or Vinicius. So they said, you know what? We're going to cage Real Madrid strikers here. We're going to attack with three or four players. And then in midfield, there will be a battle, duels, transitions. And that's why we have had so many midfielders taking the shots in these games. McAllister, Guler, Szoboszlai took three shots. And you know, that has been the story of the game. But back to your principal point, yes, I think that this game can be a turning point for Liverpool, for the caliber of the rival, and also for the manner, the fashion they have won the game in.
Well, Real Madrid came into this having lost just once all season, Phil, so that just adds to the fact that this is a huge win for Liverpool. How important was that midfield, as Alvaro is sort of suggesting there? When you look at Dominic Szoboszlai and the positions that he was playing, Alexis McAllister scoring the goal, but also Ryan Gravenberch as well, who had been missing for a few games partway through this season.
Yeah, it was the balance in the team, I think, wasn't it, that they helped provide the energy, they set the tone, they played a part in the threat that Liverpool posed going forward, but equally, maybe even more importantly, protecting that defence as well, which did a super job. And barely remember Kylian Mbappe having a clear chance in the game. And this is someone who scored 13 in 11 in the Spanish Liga. He'd got five in the first three games, top scorer in the Champions League in the league phase. And Liverpool marshalled his threat so well. And yes, there was some excellent defending from both the fullbacks, from Konate and Van Dijk as well. But I do think that midfield three in front of them played a big part in the reason why. And it was the balance in the team. I think tactically Arne Slot got it spot on. I think, you know, that they maintained the threat at the right time in the game, and they sensed the chance when they were creating the pressure, particularly early in the second half, but they didn't leave themselves open. And those three that you mentioned in midfield, the amount of ground that they covered, I don't have the stats to hand, but they were perpetual motion, weren't they? Yes. They were everywhere.
17 shots in total Liverpool had in that game, 9 of which were on target, 1 scored, 8 saved by Thibaut Courtois. It could have been a very different scoreline if they didn't have him in goal.
Well, Liverpool and Thibaut Courtois go back a long way. I mean, Champions League 2022... probably Thibaut Courtois was the biggest kryptonite that Liverpool could have found that night. And yeah, he was sensational again. He did everything he could to keep Real Madrid in the game. I don't forget the save that he did on Dominic Szoboszlai in the first half. That was very impressive. And then in the second half as well, he was there when the team needed him. You know, there something really special was needed for Liverpool to score today, and I think that finally that came thanks to Alexis McAllister. His header was so powerful, Thibaut Courtois could do nothing about it.
And Liverpool, from what you've seen of them, Phil, of this performance and of performances previously as well, can you see them going deep in this competition?
Oh, absolutely. I can. But the players they brought in the summer, a huge quality additions to the squad. And yes, because of the changes that they made in the way that they want to play and the new players coming in, it was probably always going to take a little bit of time to settle down. In this competition, though, it's 3 wins from 4 for Liverpool. They're level on points now with Real Madrid. I think they're fifth and sixth, these two, currently in the league table after the first round of match day 4 games. So they're in an excellent position. And as we saw last season with Paris Saint-Germain, who at one stage looked like they might not even qualify for the knockout stages, went on to find their form. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw something similar from this Liverpool team getting stronger and stronger as the season goes on, as they work out how to bring the best and maximise the ability of the likes of Florian Wirtz, Alexander Isak injured in this game, of course, to come back in and fit in as well. So many options for them. Once that they sort it out, and I think it is only a matter of time before it clicks. That could be towards the end of the season at the business part of the Champions League. They have to be firmly up there amongst the contenders.
And there is one player who is definitely a contender to become a regular starter, even when Frimpong is back. Mm-hmm. I think that Conor Bradley has been superlative tonight. He has defended Vinicius really well. I think that he took this personally, in the sense that this is one of the best wingers in the world. I'm going to show my quality, and he did it, and it was very impressive. I think that he's one of the big winners of this game. Mm.
From that game, Liverpool only had 39% possession in comparison to Real, but it's what they did with it. And their XG from that game in Anfield was 2.58, which is pretty impressive. But it all came down to Alexis McAllister's header that sealed the victory, and he was voted UEFA's player of the match. Let's take you to France now, where two more big hitters from Europe took on each other at the Parc des Princes. It was Paris against Bayern, and it was the German side that won this one by 2-1. Luis Diaz gave them an early lead. He then doubled that as well after the half hour mark. Manuel Neuer made a great save from Bradley Barcola with a one-on-one. And then there were more chances as well in this game for both sides. Luis Diaz, though, the goal scorer for Bayern, was sent off just before half-time for a challenge on Ashraf Hakimi. He had to go off injured. Ousmane Dembele likewise had to go off injured in the first half too. So there were problems for Luis Enrique. His side, though, did push and push for a goal, and they got one back late on. That came from João Neves, but unfortunately it wasn't enough for them to get any more out of the game, as they lost that game to Bayern, who, Alvaro, we mentioned before how impressive this Bayern side have been. They have not lost a game. They've won every single game they've played this season.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And their goal difference in the Champions League also says a lot. I mean, plus 11 after four games. Mm. It means that when they have won it convincingly. Obviously, against Paris, it was never going to be easy. But, you know, before Luis Diaz was sent off, they were already winning 2-0. Mm. And, you know, I think that Bayern looks better than they were last year. Even better, because last year they were already quite a power force. And I just want to wish the best for Achraf Hakimi, because I think that he may have suffered an injury too. He left the team, and the picture of his injury looks concerning, but then you never know. I hope that it's not as serious as it looks.
They're a side that, although are dominating in the French league as they tend to do, and coming into this match day four, they led the way in the table as well. And I know Luis Enrique has been mixing his team selection up, resting some players. Injuries have been a problem to them as well. It will be a blow to have lost this. This is just their second defeat all season. But my goodness, we know the star quality. And we know, as you mentioned already, that they can be slow starters in the Champions League and still come through to win like they did last time.
Yeah, they do have previous, don't they, in that respect. And they also have an incredible amount of quality in the squad. So it's a setback, certainly, but it's not one, I don't think, that would derail their season. And you're right to touch on the injuries, because they are missing key players. Sounds like another one picked up for Dembele in the game. Two are already out as well, and yet they still have so much strength in that squad. But it is it's another test. But yeah, last season proved that you can recover from these sort of setbacks. What they are finding, though, in games like this as well, is just how difficult it is to defend the Champions League, because they are the team that everybody now wants to beat. But they are also such a promising young team, with, in theory, the best years still ahead of them, which is a scary thought for the rest of Europe as well, isn't it, right now? But Bayern may be laying down the blueprint.
Indeed. Let's take you to Turin. Just before that, Luis Diaz, only the second player to score twice and be sent off in a UEFA Champions League match. That after Antoine Griezmann in October 2021 for Atletico against Liverpool. And Bayern keeper Manuel Neuer was voted the player of the match. To Turin then, and it was Juventus that took on Sporting, and this one finished 1-1. It was Sporting that took the lead, first of all, in this game very early on in the first half. Maximiliano Araujo getting the goal, but that was cancelled out by Dusan Vlahovic's equaliser just after the half hour mark. Sporting have never won in Italy. That is a run then that does continue after that draw. But we mention that Luciano Spalletti is the new man in charge, replacing Igor Tudor, who was sacked after an 8-match winless run. And a point like this will just be so important for a team that might have been low in confidence.
Yeah, I think so. I think that overall they have to take the positives. All right, they haven't won. They haven't won at home. But on the other hand, they are, or they were playing against a team that has been doing very well, reasonably well, in the best European stage over the last couple of years. And, you know, sometimes they have shown Juventus that they can attack well. They've got a manager who knows how to set up teams to win games. Spalletti is a very astute tactician. And, you know, when it comes to Juventus, they just have to manage to win one game. They were very close to winning as well against Villarreal. They didn't do it just for inches. They have drawn three games in the Champions League. They have lost only one, which tells you that losing one out of four means that you are definitely very resilient. Mm. And if they can bring that extra to win the next game, that would be terrific for them. And when it comes to Sporting, look, they got 7 points after four games. It's quite a good half. I mean, if they manage to produce a second half of the league phase like this, they will certainly be playing Champions League football in February.
Well, it was Sporting's Pedro Goncalves who was voted the player of the match. To one of the earlier kickoffs then to Czechia, where Arsenal were looking to maintain their 100% record in this year's league phase against Slavia Praha. Here's how the match unfolded in Prague.
And it is indeed a penalty. Handball by Probon. It's Saka for Arsenal. And the captain scores. Perfectly placed. Merino in the middle. Nwaneri in the box. Saka as well. Merino, great chance. Perfect start to the second half for Arsenal. Collected by Rice. It's a third goal. And Mikel Merino is there again. It's a 3-0 lead and another 3 points heading to North London.
So a Bukayo Saka penalty gave Arsenal a first half lead before a Mikel Merino double sealed the victory for the visitors to Czechia. Let's hear from the Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta with his thoughts after the game.
Well, I was very happy. A really tough place to come. They haven't lost here all season, and we knew it was going to get really physical, very intense. They are really direct, and they provoke a game that is difficult to play. But emotionally, I think we handled it really, really well. We were very efficient where we had to be, and we deserve to win the game.
So it was Mikel Merino then with the double in this game. And he is a player that Mikel Arteta knows, Alvaro. He can just rely on when needed to be called upon to play in whatever role it feels. But right now as a centre forward, he just relishes it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he, you know, as we said now that this game can be a turning point for Liverpool, I think that the game against Germany in Euro 2024 was a turning point for Mikel Merino's scoring numbers as well, because ever since then he has become a very good scorer. I think that one thing that puzzles me is that he is not only like clever to reach in scoring areas and, you know, scoring goals, but also he does it in one touch. The goals he scored today were one touch goals as well. He has become like very clinical, but not as a midfielder who scores goals. Sometimes he looks like a striker who has always played in that position. And you know, his numbers are impressive. Last season he recorded his best scoring season, and I think that this season is on course even to surpass those numbers. He's a great footballer for Arsenal, because playing as a midfielder for Arsenal can be difficult at this stage. There are so many and so good. So for Mikel Merino, playing as a number nine, it's an opportunity to have a lot of playing time.
Well, a record was broken in this game as well, as Max Dalman came on as a second-half substitute for Arsenal, becoming the youngest player in Champions League history at 15 years and 308 days. Christian Norgaard is full of praise for his teenage teammate.
No, he did amazing again. I think there was one long ball that he just took down while he was keeping his opponent away. We saw what he could do against Brighton in the Carabao Cup. I think the future is very bright for him. It's just about, keep working hard, keep being disciplined, and I'm sure he has a very big future ahead of him.
A huge future ahead of him. There is a lot of praise for Max Dalman, but my goodness, at 15 years and 308 days to make your Champions League debut, Alvaro, it's a pretty special night that it turned out for him.
Really special. I mean, he's going to relish the experience. It makes all of us feel old, I think. I'm speaking about myself, but I mean, I'm used already to some managers being younger than I am, but I'm not getting used to some players being 15 years old. But
you're going to have to, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks like this guy is going to be around for a while. What I can tell you is that I think that before, in the locker rooms there were some hierarchies, very clear, and the veteran players always played and the young players have to be in the locker room, not talk, be silent and learn. And I remember cases like Ronaldo, the Brazilian one, in World Cup 94 being in the squad just to learn, and he didn't play a single minute. I think that Ariel Ortega spent some time like that in Argentina squad, even though he was a terrific youngster. Now, when a player is ready, no matter how young he is, Lamine Yamal, Max Daumann today, they play. This has been a cultural change in football. We see more and more youngsters just making the difference. Look at last season Champions League final. I think there were a couple of teenagers in the score sheet.
100% record for Arsenal then continues. And Phil, what's even more impressive is yet another clean sheet. It's 8 games in a row and they haven't conceded a goal in 720 minutes of football.
And they rarely look like conceding a goal either, do they? I mean, it's got to the stage at the moment now where you're counting the efforts that they face on their own goal rather than the goals that they concede, because they just aren't conceding any. And that's not by coincidence. That's a huge defensive effort, a huge understanding, you know, born from the work on the training ground, developed over recent seasons, that is really bearing fruit now, isn't it? And it seems to be as well, regardless of personnel, because they are able to change the team as they have done during this run through various different competitions, Premier League, Champions League, English League Cup as well. Whoever plays, it's the same story. So they're so well coached in that respect that Once they score a goal, you think almost that's it, that's game over. And I think that has a little bit of an effect as well, doesn't it, on the opposition, because they know just how big a task they're going to have to get back into the game. Now, from what it sounds like, they did have the odd scare in this one, but again, the clean sheet, nil. It's just remarkable, and it sums up their season to an extent so far. It's unfair maybe just to fully focus on that because of everything else they've got in their game, but it's the one standout at the moment, understandably.
Yeah, the defence held firm once more, but the man that scored a double, Mikel Merino, was voted the player of the match. Still to come in the podcast, news of an unbelievable goal for a Tottenham Hotspur centre-back who just ran the entire length of the pitch.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Now in North London, Tottenham came away with a 4-0 win over FC Copenhagen. Brennan Johnson opened the scoring in the first half, and then Wilson Odobert made it 2-0 just after half time. And then Brennan Johnson was given a red card. It was upgraded after a VAR monitor review as well. But that didn't deter Tottenham as they went on to score two more goals. Mickey van der Ven's third goal for Tottenham in this game no doubt will be the pick of them, as he picked up the ball from pretty much outside the Tottenham box and just ran and ran and ran until he was able to get his shot off. It was quite a remarkable goal, and he's been reflecting on it.
To be honest, I saw a little gap in front of me, so I was like, okay, I start dribbling now and I will see if they can catch up. And then I saw the space every time more and more, and then at one point I felt like, oh, I'm through now. I think I go for goal now. No, I'm feeling good. And at this point also, I felt like amazing in the sprint as well. I felt like, okay, I can keep going, and I did.
That is one of those goals that's just going to go down in history, Alvaro. It was fantastic. And how he sort of skipped past three or four FC Copenhagen players before he slotted home. It's simply incredible.
No, he sleeps about it so casually. It's incredible. He says, yeah, I just saw three players in front of me and I thought, yeah, why not to dribble past them? And then I saw more space and I said, why not to run? He's talking about very difficult things with such a nonchalance, you know? And the goal has been incredible, really. It's probably, I don't know. Probably my favorite of this Tuesday, but maybe I see another one that changes my mind completely. But it's difficult to score a better goal than this one.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it, Phil? When you think about it, the length of the pitch that he has to run, the thoughts that are going through his mind, I don't even know what would be going through his mind, and yet he's still able to compose himself to finish.
That's the thing, that the finish is brilliant, isn't it? The end of that, given the remarkable distance that he's covered. And as you say, whilst he's doing that, surely he's thinking, what am I going to do at the end of this? And then sticks it away. It's an astonishing goal. I will certainly never tire of watching that one back.
Certainly. And it means that Tottenham are unbeaten in their last 22 UEFA competition matches at home as well. Xavi Simons was the player of the match. To Madrid, where Atleti beat Union Saint-Gilloise 3-1. Julian Alvarez opened the scoring to make it 1-0 before Conor Gallagher doubled the advantage for the Spanish side. Union Saint-Gilloise did get a goal back in the 80th minute through Ross Sykes, but then Llorente added a third in injury time to secure an all-important 3-1 win. And they, when you talk about home form, in Champions League home matches, they've lost just one of their last 16 at Atleti, in an important bounce back victory after their defeat to Arsenal on match day 3, Alvaro.
Yeah, but that home form thing that you are spotting goes beyond the Champions League. It also applies to La Liga. I mean, Atletico de Madrid this season have been really strong at home.
Yeah.
Then away from home is a different story. It's true that in the Champions League they travel to Anfield and to Arsenal ground. That's not easy, obviously. But this is a very important win for Atletico de Madrid. They've got 6 points right now, and they are in a better position than they were, obviously, 24 hours ago. With a goal from Julian Alvarez, another one. Julian is scoring a lot of goals this season, and I suppose that, with him, Atletico de Madrid is closer to fighting for silverware than without him. He is one of the key men in Atletico de Madrid.
And it was Giuliano Simeone that came away as the player of the match. In Piraeus, Olympiacos and PSV Eindhoven played out a 1-1 draw in the end. Olympiacos went ahead through Gelson Martins, but then a late added-on time equaliser from Ricardo Pepi ensured that PSV came away with a point, having beaten Napoli 6-2 on match day 3. It was really important for them to capitalise on that by coming away with at least a point, Phil. For PSV.
It was. They left it late, didn't they? But that is really important, I think, in the context of their season, which has been improving. Always difficult for the Eredivisie sides, given that every summer they seem to need to have to rebuild. They lose key players, and the opening weeks and months can be difficult. But I think there's been proof of progress, and the belief that they showed to keep going and to get that goal to reap their reward, not just important in the context of the league table, but maybe for their season going forward as well. There's plenty to work with. Proof of progress, which is important at this point.
In Norway, Monaco beat Bodo Glimt to secure their first win in this Champions League campaign. Bodo Glimt did have a player sent off, Jostein Gundersen, late on in that game. But Sebastian Pogagnoli, who took over just last month, picking up a really crucial win after two successive draws. They finally get 3 points on the board for a win, Alvaro.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously they are climbing spots on the league face table. Right now they will be qualified for the next round, the playoff round, and yeah, definitely an important win for them.
And also in the earlier kickoff in Italy, Napoli and Eintracht Frankfurt finished 0-0, with Napoli winning just one of their four games now, and that's the same record for Eintracht Frankfurt. But you know, at the end of the day, if you're not going to lose, you've got to get a point at least. And that's the main thing, Alvaro, for both of those teams.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is right. Obviously, those both sides should be a little bit worried about the goal difference they've got on a hypothetical draw on points. But I'm sure that they have the time to correct that.
There are 9 more games to look forward to on Wednesday in the Champions League. The pick of the bunch, you'll be able to hear full commentary right here on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live as Manchester City welcome Borussia Dortmund to the City of Manchester Stadium. Ahead of the match, the City boss, Pep Guardiola, has been full of praise for his informed striker, Erling Haaland.
It's difficult to find a real, real world-class player or start to be incredible, humble and thinking what is the best for the team. I know he want to score goals. I want to the impact he knows, because the way he's scoring goals helping the team. But I had the feeling that I always have an eye what is the best for the team. And when that's happened, it's difficult to find. When a goal-scorer players have this kind of ability or the talent, or I would say it, generosity or kindness or whatever you want to say. And Erling is like that. It was a surprise, honestly. We're normally striker just thinking goal, goal, goal. Of course, he has to score goals. It's the best way to help us. That is obviously clear. But that's why I decided for that, because that guy signed a contract for 10 years. So as much is involved in many, many things, we'll be better.
So that's Pep Guardiola on his star striker Erling Haaland, who has scored 26 goals in 16 appearances for club and country this season. He has simply been a phenomenon when it comes to Manchester City, and a player that you'd like to think we're going to be talking about for many, many years to come too.
I think so. I think that he's going to be one of those footballers that will be a referential footballer. Sometimes we say, yeah, this is the Makelele position. Maybe in the future we say this is the Erling Haaland type striker when 25 years from now someone like him appears and makes, you know, the headlines. But yeah, he has had a very impressive start of the season against Bournemouth in the weekend. He scored the kind of goals that he did score at Borussia Dortmund, with a lot of space to run, but also in small spaces, tight spaces. I mean, he has become a great header of the ball. I think that a few years ago he's tall, but he wasn't a great header, and now he's a player who is very strong in the aerial duels as well. There has been an evolution of him, and this is the best Haaland we have seen to date.
Just a quick word on him for you, Phil. I mean, we are seeing great agility from him, as Alvaro is suggesting there. But when you think about Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and what they've done in the game, I mean, can we expect likewise something similar from Haaland?
I mean, it's asking a lot of anybody, isn't it? But I don't see why not. I think he has brought different aspects into his game as well, even over the last couple of seasons, adding more and more. We know what a phenomenal goal scorer he is, and he always has been. You know, he's been rewriting the record book since he was a kid in the UEFA Youth League. He's transferred that into every level that he's gone up, and now that he's at this highest level and scoring goals regularly at this highest level, I think he's still bringing more and more to the party. So yeah, I think there's every possibility that he's going to be able to maintain these standards for season after season after season. But to reach the heights that you were talking about of those fellas is a big ask.
Well, aside from the Manchester City then versus Dortmund game, what else stands out for you both on Wednesday night? Alvaro, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I would say that the game of Newcastle Athletic Club Bilbao, yeah, surprisingly.
Why is that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Newcastle is a team that is doing reasonably well over the last years, and it's a difficult place to travel to. And Athletic Club Bilbao has struggled a little bit at the start of the Champions League, 3 points out of nine. But, you know, this game is a special one. These two clubs played against each other in mid-90s, and I remember those games because they were very nice. Hopefully we'll see a game of similar quality.
OK, so you're going for that one. What about you, Phil?
I'm probably slightly influenced by the fact I'll be commentating on this one tomorrow, but I'm really looking forward to the Ajax Galatasaray game.
Ooh,
because
game.
Yeah, that's huge for Ajax. You know, they're bottom of the table after losing the first three, so they really need a lift. A team with such pedigree and tradition, four-time winners of the competition. But in Galatasaray, they're up against one of the form teams right now. They've won the last two in the Champions League. I think three in a row would equal their club record and make it their best ever start in the Champions League. Victor Osimhen has been amongst the goals, certainly. So that game has got an awful lot of subplots leading into it. That should be a cracker.
Yeah, a lot riding on that, as they are with all the games taking place. A reminder for the full list of matches and latest news ahead of them, check out the official app or head to the official UEFA Champions League website. Let's quickly take you back to the action at Anfield to bring you reaction from the goal scorer Alexis McAllister, who's been talking about his side's victory.
Important win, but we know that it doesn't mean anything because we have the experience of last season where we finished first in the first zone, and after we were out quite early. So we need to keep on going. I think it's important to build confidence. So it's a good day.
And from the Liverpool camp to the Real Madrid one, here's midfielder Jude Bellingham.
I think they slightly edged it. I think second half they probably just brought a bit more really dangerous from the set pieces. Obviously, we didn't defend them too well. Thibaut kind of bailed us out a few times when they got free. I thought first half we were good, created some good openings and controlled a lot of the first half. But I think second half their momentum just took over a little bit and they edged it. So, yeah, obviously, yeah, after they scored, it felt like we wanted to try and force things a little bit too much, and probably gave the ball away too many times towards the end that didn't really give us the momentum to create more chances, and probably gave them the chance to attack more when we were most vulnerable. So obviously things to learn. It's still a really early in the season, still really early in the Champions League campaign.
So Liverpool beat Real Madrid by a goal to nil. Let's just quickly run you through how the league phase table is shaping up. Bayern and Arsenal are first and second respectively after 12 points from possible 12. Liverpool and Tottenham are into the top eight after their victories. And a reminder, it's the top eight that go straight through to the round of 16. Atleti's second victory of the league phase sees them rise up to 14th, and Monaco's first UEFA Champions League win of this season sees them up to 18th. Right, before we say goodbye, Alvaro and Phil, I want your moment of the night. Go on then, Phil. It could be from any match.
I'll leave maybe the obvious one for Alvaro and concentrate on the game that we were watching at Anfield and go for that Alexis McAllister goal, the only goal of the game. And partly because of the manner in which it was scored, because time after time we'd see ball into the box, header goalwards, Courtois save on repeat, loop on repeat. And then finally, Liverpool managed to get it absolutely bang on and make the breakthrough. And McAllister, who scored the opener when they beat Real Madrid at Anfield last season, doing so again, and just reward for them. It was a compelling contest, and that was the defining moment of it.
Yeah, my favourite moment of tonight has been Van de Ven's goal. I mean, it's been insane. He just ran 80 metres on his own and he scored the goal. I cannot think of any centre-back who can possibly do that. I know that maybe some people write me on Twitter, yeah, this guy did it, whatever, but I don't remember anyone who did that ever as a centre-back. So there you go. This is my moment.
Two good picks, I think that's fair to say. Well, that is it and all we've got time for this evening. My thanks to Alvaro and Phil for their company. Don't forget you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. Matchday Live will be on air from 8:45 CEST on Wednesday evening with full commentary of Manchester City versus Dortmund, as well as all the goals and incidents as they happen from the rest of the games across Europe. Until then, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's a goodbye from us.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.